This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
And thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today we're speaking with Laura Carabello, the editor-in-chief at Medical Travel and Digital Health News, the authoritative newsletter for medical tourism and digital health, to discuss international medical travel and centers of excellence during Medical Travel Month. And Laura, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
I'm delighted to be here.
And of course, we certainly appreciate your time in joining us here today. So if you would, tell us about Medical Travel and Digital Health News and how it got started and what is its focus and global audience.
I was at an industry meeting, probably the Self-Insurance Institute of America, probably about 15 years ago, when somebody walked up to me and said to me, what do you know about medical tourism, and are there opportunities for employers to start sending patients out of the country? Well, of course, I had never heard of it, or I had heard of it tangentially in the media a little bit, but not really full force. So I looked into it, and I became immediately not only engaged, but transformed by it. And I decided to start this newsletter to begin the opportunities for educating employers, hospitals, decision makers, brokers, TPAs, and others in the industry to start looking into the opportunity for medical travel, both domestic, traveling intrastate in the United States, and international. And it then morphed into digital health, because digital health is such a big part of medical travel, telehealth, and other digital solutions. And that's how the newsletter grew from my little Rolodex. 15 years ago, we still had Rolodexes. And now we contribute material internationally, globally, to all of the above parties, audiences. And we're probably close to 60,000 in our audience now.
Well, that is phenomenal, and we really appreciate all you have done in the space to date. Now, tell us, I'd be curious, what is the significance of January, which was the medical travel month?
Well, this is the first time that medical travel has been included in the awareness calendar that is put out under the banner of the American Hospital Association, but it's really the Society for Healthcare Marketing, which is a division of the AHA. And we applied for this because we thought there was an opportunity for the media to know about medical travel and what's going on nationally and internationally. But this Medical Travel Month is mostly focused on national, domestic U.S. medical travel, where people either travel interstate or they come in from foreign countries to American, U.S.-based centers of excellence. So we're excited about this first-time recognition of the medical travel industry.
If you would describe international medical travel, inbound and outbound U.S. medical travel as well.
Well, inbound medical travel has been going on for decades. People from all over the world regard the U.S. healthcare system, even though it may get some bad press sometimes. The U.S. healthcare system is still regarded as the go-to mecca for quality, highest quality healthcare. So people come from every country, every corner of the globe to visit U.S. hospitals. And the centers of excellence have been not only welcoming these foreign patients, but they've been catering to them and encouraging them to come. A lot of them come with cash to pay the hospitals. They pay in advance many times. These patients are really desperate for access in countries where they don't have access to care. Those with the wherewithal and the resources to travel to the United States see an opportunity to get care, particularly for pediatric cases where they can't get care. So that's the foreign people coming into the United States inbound. As far as interstate, it's just thriving. Companies in the United States recognize that they can send their employees to other parts of the country or to places outside the local region to get care that they may not be able to access at a price, an affordable price that is very attractive to employers. So we have inbound, we have interstate. And the industry, of course, took a little bit of a downturn during COVID. It seems to be coming back now. We've just heard from the Cleveland Clinic that there is a big upsurge in medical travel. companies like Contigo and others. We hear from hospitals all the time that they are welcoming medical travel as people are traveling now for care, and they see a very bright future, especially once the COVID pandemic hopefully will abate and people will feel more comfortable traveling. Sometimes if the travel doesn't require air travel, sometimes it's just a couple of hours away on a car ride. But there is definitely an upsurge in medical travel. As far as traveling to foreign countries, that is still a little bit on hold. Not that it's on hold completely, because people are traveling. I can tell you that they're going to Dubai, because Dubai has a very low rate of COVID, so people are traveling to the Astra DM hospitals abroad because it's so safe there. And it's accessible. You can take a flight. It may take you a day to get there, but it's worth the trip. A lot of people feel that it's worth the trip to go to Central America, South America, places that they can access care at a much, much more reasonable cost.
Certainly do appreciate those details. It is certainly helpful. And of course, we all hope that COVID will just disappear and never come back again sooner than later. Today, we're speaking with Laura Carabello, the editor-in-chief at Medical Travel and Digital Health News, the authoritative newsletter for medical tourism and digital health. And she's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Laura, why do people travel for care, and why do employers adopt medical travel benefits as well?
People travel for care for three reasons. Access. They either don't have access to care in their home state or their local environs. They travel for cost savings. Cost savings is probably the biggest driver in a lot of medical travel, particularly for expensive surgeries, bariatric surgery, for example. People travel for dental care. It's much, much less expensive outside the United States. So it's access, cost, and I have to really hone in on quality, because hospitals that are catering to medical travelers are usually the highest quality providers. And centers of excellence throughout the world are welcoming and looking forward to welcoming medical travelers in the days ahead, especially after COVID subsides. And the cost savings for employers are truly unbelievable, really 10 cents, 20 cents on the dollar, so that procedures that are costing $80,000 for knee replacement or shoulder replacement in one hospital could be as low as, you know, $15,000, $18,000 in a select center of excellence. So the cost savings are great. And the quality, of course, accreditation has made it easy to choose the hospitals that are most suited to providing this type of care. So you've got access, quality, and cost.
It certainly makes a lot of sense, and thanks for your input and information on that. Now, what are the characteristics of U.S. centers of excellence, and what services are typically offered for medical travelers?
As I said, accreditation is very important. Joint Commission International, IOS standards out of the country. But you can usually look at the accreditation of a hospital and be able to determine its feasibility and availability and quality levels for welcoming the medical traveler. And quality is a very, very important touch point for these centers of excellence. Of course, you have to look at the credentials of the doctors, make sure they're board certified. Outcomes are a big, big issue. If you're looking at judging an institution or a provider, look at their outcomes. What is their track record for not only the number of surgeries that they've done, but the outcomes of patients? Social media has driven a lot of that. You can go on social media now and find out how patients enjoyed their stay at a particular hospital, what they thought of the quality. But go back to accreditation, because that's probably the key driver of quality, and knowing what quality really looks like at a particular institution, because the standards are very rigorous. So that's where I would go. I would go online. I would look at, do your homework. If you're working with a medical travel facilitator, My friend Raj Rao, who is at Indus Health, can give you a good recommendation as well. But these are the importance of doing your homework, letting yourself be comfortable talking to doctors, looking at accreditation, and getting on board with what the opportunities are to not only access care but to save money. And for employers, self-funded employers, which is really where I first started looking at this with SIA, this is a no-brainer. This is absolutely a no-brainer to send patients not too far from home. They could travel across the country if they're willing to do so. But, you know, there's opportunities for cost savings and access to quality care that they never dreamed of.
Laura, one last question for you before we conclude. Will medical travel continue during COVID?
Well, during COVID, and obviously we're seeing an upsurge now with the Omicron variant, people are hesitant, but the planes, the airplanes are full. The airlines are full. I'm not suggesting cruises, but I do think people can travel safely. We have seen somewhat of a comeback in medical travel. As soon as this pandemic hopefully winds down, and we're anticipating that it will, we're seeing a big rush for it, particularly to the Caribbean, maybe the Cayman Islands are particularly noteworthy, Costa Rica, places that are known for quality health care. And I encourage everybody to look into what their options are for saving money, individuals as well as employers. This is a big opportunity for accessing care at a lower cost.
Well, Laura, we certainly appreciate all you do in this space. And on behalf of Medical Travel and Digital Health News, where can listeners tap into all this information and get more details online?
They can go to our website, www.medicaltraveltoday.com. The newsletter is distributed free of charge. There's no subscription fee. I do this as a service to the industry and to people, and particularly with those people who are uninsured now as a result of COVID, lost their jobs, lost their coverage. This is the time to get on board for dental surgeries, all kinds of surgeries, cardiac, orthopedic surgery is a particularly joint replacement. The savings are incredible.
What a fabulous resource to tap into. Really excited about this, Laura. And again, thanks so much. Again, folks, it is medicaltraveltoday.com. Laura, all the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio.
Thank you.
Again, we've been speaking with Laura Carabello, the editor-in-chief at Medical Travel and Digital Health News, the authoritative newsletter for medical tourism and digital health. And for all the details and to tap into this great resource, visit medicaltraveltoday.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.